Get to Old Navy for star-spangled style. Right now, everything's on sale, up to 60% off. That's right, get everything from tees, shorts, dresses, and swim, all at 60% off. Now till July 7th at Old Navy and oldnavy.com. Valid through 7/7, select styles only.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
Open the pod bay doors, Hal.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You want answers!
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight? What?
Take your stinking paws off me, you damn dirty ape!
At the Movies on BFM 89.9.
Hey, I'm Uma Pagan, I'm PK Pagan. Joining me right now is Bahe Yusuf for another episode of Binge Watch. We are binging and watching Black Mirror Series 4 that just dropped on Netflix a week ago. It is 6 episodes this time, all of which written by Charlie Brooker, of course, the genius of Charlie Brooker.
Yeah, I was surprised. Even though I'd known about it, I kept, you know, it's like every time his name writer comes up, I'm like, oh, it's Charlie Brooker.
If I'm not mistaken, he's written all but 2 episodes.
Oh.
And then he's co-written a couple as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's the entire history of You, which is the series 1 episode that was written by Jesse Armstrong. And then the 3rd season opener, Nosedive, was co-written by Rashida Jones and Mike Schur, but it was based on a story by Charlie Brooker.
Yes, yes.
He's back writing all 6 episodes. The internet has been quite divided about this series of Black Mirror, in that some people either absolutely love it or some people absolutely hate it. Some people are calling it the weakest series yet. I disagree. I think this is one of the strongest series of Black Mirror, and allow me to make my case. Because I know, Bahe, you have trouble with anyone topping the Prime Minister of England having sex with a pig.
Yes, like that is the bar for me. Every episode of Black Mirror, I sort of go, but was it a British Prime Minister having unnatural intercourse with a swine on national TV? Is it that level, though? Like, San Junipero is great, but is it really, though, that level of messed up?
Okay, allow me to make my case.
Okay, go for it.
Okay, so there are 6 episodes. Mm-hmm. I'll run through them very quickly. The first episode is called USS Callister. This woman wakes up on a spaceship where the crew kind of prays their all-knowing and fearless captain. It is this metaphor for toxic masculinity and tech broness and a perfect timely addition to everything that's been going on in Hollywood right now.
Yes, and also the gaming industry, and also, you know, I don't know, sports, I guess, something, whatever, everything, right? Yeah.
The second episode is called Archangel. It's about a mother who has an implant in her daughter's brain that allows her to monitor everything she does, right? She's fearful for her daughter's life after she went missing one day, and it is surveillance taken to the logical extreme.
The nth level.
The third story is called Crocodile, and it's the story about a woman's past who comes back to haunt her, a murderous past who comes back to haunt her.
I really like this one.
I really like that
one,
too.
I really like Crocodile.
Fourth episode is called Hang the DJ, which is about a new dating system. Correct.
Yeah,
it's not even an app. It's like a system.
It's a system, yes.
That'll help
yes.
you find the perfect one.
99.8% of the time.
Correct.
Yes.
Fourth episode is called Metalhead, and it is just this incredibly tense chase drama between a robot dog and a woman on the run.
Yeah.
There's hardly any dialogue in that episode.
There's hardly anybody else in that episode.
And Maxine Peake, who plays the woman,
just... Oh, my God.
Stunning.
Yeah. Capital A acting all the way.
All the way.
Yeah.
And the last and final episode is called Black Museum, about a woman who comes across a museum of criminality. And she hears stories about the various artifacts that are contained within this museum, right? That pretty much is a summary of all 6 episodes.
Yeah. I will have to confess, I'm just shy episode 6.
That's like, right. I haven't watched Black Museum
I've seen 1
yet.
Through 5, 6 I haven't.
We're going to give you an overview of how we feel about this season.
Mm.
Here's my take. I think, and I was watching some old episodes of Black Mirror, season 1, season 2, just random samplings, right? Mm. all of those previous seasons were kind of rooted in a tech twist, right? The idea was that we see the world through the nth extreme of where technology may take us.
Yeah.
I found that this season was more rooted in character than any other season before it. Almost like the technology took a back step.
Yeah.
And also, all of the technology had to do with the brain and the mind.
Yes.
Almost every episode had something to do with our inner selves and how we either interact with our inner selves and how we hide our true selves.
Personally, I preferred when the shows or when the stories were more story-driven as opposed to character-driven for me. Which is why a lot of the first season I really, really liked. There were in fact a couple of episodes from the earlier seasons where a few people didn't really like. Like I loved Be Right Back, the one with Hayley Atwell and Domhnall Gleeson.
Yeah.
That idea that this woman couldn't let go of her partner. So she goes through the nth level of what technology can do to bring back the dead, right? There's a split moment where she's thrilled but also a little disturbed and disgusted, and that sort of disturbed, disgusted feeling sort of builds into the final pieces of the episode. I love those episodes. There were a few from the previous season which I didn't like, season 3. It just felt very American, because I believe that's when the Americans came in and got involved.
Well, Netflix came in.
Netflix came in, right? Yeah. So, like, episodes from season 3, there were quite a few which I thought were weak. They were interesting, but they were just sort of, like, didn't have the bleakness of the UK versions, you know, which I really, really like. Like, for example, the episode we keep referencing, the pilot episode of Black Mirror, where a prime minister is threatened by a kidnapper and public support to have these unnatural sexual relations with a swine, with a pig, right? On camera. And at the end of the episode, when the kidnapped victim is released, she's not hurt, she's not harmed, and neither is his public persona. He's still prime minister, he's still shaking hands, people still love him, people still giving him babies and all that. Sure, his marriage has fallen apart, but the idea is, even after doing this thing in public where you think it's just going to ruin you, nothing changes.
The one thing Black Mirror has always done very, very well is that even though it uses technology and takes it to that nth extreme, it is always in a place that is completely believable.
Yes.
And I think that's what makes it so affecting.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't take too many logical leaps and it doesn't require any kind of suspension of disbelief given the trajectory we're going on.
Yeah. And for example, White Bear is a great episode. I know a lot of people who didn't really enjoy that, but I loved it because the idea that this character has done something so heinous that the only...
well, humane way
humane
to handle
slash punishing way to do it would be to get her
to
destroy her memory and just keep her coming back. That's sort of like, instead of jail time, they do this elaborate TV production so that she can go through the worst emotions possible as a human, right? And that to me is just sort of like the weird twistedness of humanity, which I really like.
With the exception of one episode in this series, it is all remarkably bleak. But even that episode that isn't bleak, that has something of a happy ending, actually has a bleak journey to that ending. Hang the DJ is the story I'm talking about, but everything that leads up to that ending that is quite... it's not even happy. It's just not as bleak as everything else.
Yeah, but even then, that happy ending... not even happy ending, you're right. The potential for happy ending is only 99.8% potentially possible, right? So we don't
correct.
Even know.
But, correct.
But the idea that these characters in the shape or form are going through this constant just heartbreak and heartache just to get to this ending.
I don't know if they're supposed to be cautionary tales.
Oh,
because I don't think Charlie Brooker has that kind of message. I think they're supposed to be examples of how far gone humanity is.
Yeah, I think for me it's not necessarily how far gone humanity is, but rather how far gone humanity can get if we're not careful, right? There's an episode in one of the earlier seasons about a reality show, essentially, and
where you have to keep collecting points.
Yeah, but even at the end, when the character sort of you know, threatens to take his life and has this big sort of moment where he's just taking control of his life. The next scene is he doesn't. He becomes part of the machine now, right? And in his face, you can see that acceptance, but yet at the same time, the joy in having succeeded in becoming successful.
Yeah.
So it is that really weird thing of that really weird thing for an audience to watch it and go, that is possible. Or I can see how that happens. Or I can see how I would want to be that guy.
Or I would go down that exact same path because I may not be strong enough to make the right decision.
Last season, there was one about a boy who was caught masturbating on camera and the things they had to make him do. And I'm thinking to myself, like, yeah, because the first thing I'll do, I mean, if I was caught in that situation, I'd do the first thing, but then I'd do the next thing. And then, because you keep escalating, right?
But also, that episode was frightening.
That kid is amazing, by the way.
Yeah, but also frightening because it really makes you question your sympathy, your empathy.
Yeah.
Everything.
Your humanity.
Your own humanity, absolutely.
Yeah.
The other thing that stands out about this particular season is that all six of these episodes are incredibly female-driven stories as well.
Yes,
everyone is primarily focused on female characters. Hang the DJ has a little more of a balance between the male and female point of view, but
even
I found...
more of a... adventures.
Also more interesting.
More interesting, yeah.
Yes, more interesting. And it's all the better for it because I think it gives you that alternative perspective that is often missing in science fiction and speculative fiction as well, at least on TV.
Yeah, yeah.
The story Archangel about that mother and daughter, which is directed by Jodie Foster, is absolutely incredible because it's such a quiet episode. Mm. It's everyday things happening, like most Black Mirror episodes, with a technological twist. But the relationship between the mother and the daughter and how we see that decline over the period of an hour is absolutely brilliantly directed and so well acted by the two people.
I agree with you in a lot of that. Like, I agree it was very well directed. I agree it was well written, well acted. But it wasn't the most interesting for me.
It wasn't the Prime Minister having sex with the pig.
No, it wasn't, right? But it also wasn't Crocodile.
Right.
You know, it also wasn't, you know, Hang the DJ or Metalhead, right? To me, those three are my top three favorites for this season. Again, I haven't seen the final episode, which I hear is also very strong. But the Archangel one was just felt like it was okay.
USS Callister is the episode that's getting the most talk.
Mm.
It is essentially a piss take on Star Trek and
everything else about space and
science fiction and geekdom and fandom and the tech industry.
Yeah.
And Jesse Plemons does the most amazing Kirk impression throughout.
I had
someone give him an Emmy.
I had trouble watching that because I love Jesse Plemons and he's a jerk in this one.
Oh, he's awful.
He's great as an awful character.
But what great writing, right? Throughout the episode, you start off within the first few minutes feeling absolutely sorry for this guy who is getting bullied at work, who's a bit of a loser, whose only escape is a virtual reality.
That he built
for himself and for the world, right? And when it turns almost
so
immediately.
Dastardly.
Yes.
I was just like, whoa, I was not seeing that, right? Like, because you expect, you see the episode, right? In your head, you know, okay, loser, tech genius, builds his own world. He populates it with people in the office who bully him all the time so he can bully them back. But it's not, but there's more. There's another layer of just sinisterness above that.
Yeah, there are so many layers to the USS Callister episode. You could write thesis after thesis about each one.
Yeah.
I mean, there's the layer of artificial beings, these beings that he's created, whether they have life, whether they matter, whether they're self-aware. What happens if you murder something that is artificial?
Yeah.
Is it murder, right?
Yeah. There's also the desexualization of the space fleet.
Okay,
right.
So all of these characters don't have genitals.
They don't have genitals. You see it. Like, one of the characters pulls down his pants and he's got a Ken crutch, right? And I wasn't expecting it. I assume, like, they were saying they don't have it. So you go like, oh, okay, you know, he's going to take off his pants. He's going to show the other character. No. He's going to show us. And he's a pretty well-known actor. You've seen him in other stuff. So now he's always going to be Ken doll crutch. But no, that idea that this world that the Jesse Plemons character has built from a version of a 60s TV show where hypersexualization isn't a thing. It was super desexualization, right? Nobody goes further than a kiss. Like, even the character says, just kiss him, it's fine. There's never any tongue because there's never tongue on Space Fleet, you know? But is that, for me, it's also, it sort of plays up into something what I've always thought as a kid. I've played around with as an idea as a kid, that when you turn off the game, the characters still go on, right? You know, they don't stop for you. They don't.
That idea of Toy Story, right?
Yeah, that idea of Toy Story. And this particular episode sort of, you know, expounds on that a little bit. Like, because when he leaves the virtual reality that he's built, when Jesse Plemons' character leaves the virtual world, the rest of the characters in the virtual world just go, okay, who wants a drink? Let's go grab some vodka. You know, we're just going to sit around, hang around until he's back, because what else are we going to do? It's not like he turns us off. We still sit here for 3 months, 7 years, whatever it is.
There's the layer of the benevolent dictator, yeah, in which he comes across as in the beginning of the show, which quickly descends into straight up Adolf Hitler.
Yes.
Very, very quickly.
Yes.
There is the metaphor for the Me Too movement. There is so much happening in this episode. It is one of the best written scripts I have ever come across.
But also not hitting you over the head with it.
Oh, no. Nothing is spelt out.
You can see it. If you see it, if you don't, it's still an enjoyable TV show.
But also just because it's an entertaining episode.
Yeah.
It's really got great dialogue. Yeah. It's got all these believable characters who have an end game and a quest to get to, right? I mean, it is funny.
Yeah.
It is playing on classic science fiction geek tropes.
Yeah, yeah.
It's got all of that in USS Callister, and it's a great start to the series. If you haven't seen any Black Mirror, I think it's safe to say that Black Mirror is the one thing which you can jump in and sample at any point.
Yeah, just pick an episode.
Pick an episode and start. You don't have to watch it in order.
No.
Even if you're a completist, if you're one of these people that's obsessive about that sort of thing, it really doesn't matter. The episodes hardly ever tie into each other. Occasionally, there are Easter eggs from one episode to another.
Oh, yes, but they don't affect the story at all. No.
They stand alone, right? And they're all enjoyable by themselves.
Yeah. It's also the kind of thing where you can sit with a bunch of friends and go like, oh, you know, did you hear about this story about Black Mirror? Oh, let's just put it on, because you don't need 7 seasons to know who the characters are.
No. Also, you can watch it and you can have a riveting conversation about it later.
Yeah.
I want more. I just want more from Charlie Brooker.
Yeah.
I think he's just on another level.
For me, like, as much as they're almost similar shows, it's the kind of thing where, like, maybe Charlie Brooker should reboot Twilight Zone.
Correct.
They're similar shows, but, like, Twilight Zone is more like family-friendly horror, but I'd love to see Charlie Brooker's fingerprints all over it.
I want 20-minute episodes once a week for 24 weeks.
Yes.
Of The Twilight Zone or Steven Spielberg's Amazing Stories, one of those,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes. So he doesn't have to go as dark as Black Mirror. This could just sort of be like the kind of stuff he'd want his kids to watch, or, you know, my kids to watch.
Now, this is some of the most interesting speculative fiction that's out there.
Yes. It's the kind of thing where you, in some way, shape or form, you see a lot of them in books, right? Speculative fiction, you see a lot in collected books or short stories. But to see it as TV, as hour-long episodic TV, is great.
It doesn't fail to impress me how astute all of these observations are in these episodes. And to come from one mind. Check out Black Mirror. It is now streaming on Netflix. And like I said, you can jump in straight to Series 4 and then kind of make your way backwards as well. You're not going to miss anything. Let us know what you think of the new season. I'm on at Umar Pagan.
I'm at Bahiwai.
You're listening to Binge Watch on At The Movies. This is BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you, with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.